Father, Lord, we love you this morning because you first loved us. Glory to God. You loved us. You left your throne. You took on the seed of Abraham. And you came down to earth and became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God, even in you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for a new day. Thank you for a new work week. Praise the Lord. And we thank you for all your people that are here gathered together today. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, because you have a word in season for each of us today. And as always, I declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let us receive that understanding this morning, Lord. Let this light shine in our hearts. Give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, welcome. I want to talk about this very important subject as a follow-up from yesterday's lesson. We are in Romans chapter 12 as part of our deep dive Bible study in the book of Romans. We're now in chapter 12. We're covering just the first couple of verses from yesterday, and I want to speak a little more on this portion of God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. So I want to talk about that. But before I do that, I want to declare to you the word of the Lord for today. Today is a very significant day, even according to the scriptures. So I'm going to read this to you, and I'm going to declare it to you by the word of the Lord. And if you can receive it, well, let's hear what the Lord will say for each one of us. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be reading from the book of Zechariah, chapter 1. Now, this is not our main lesson today, but I want you to hear this and receive it for yourself. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 7. Praise the Lord. And so I'm going to make this prophetic declaration for you today. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, that's the 24th day, of the 11th month, whatever that 11th month happens to be in your calendar. In the Jewish calendar, it's a little bit different, but it is the 11th day. It is the 24th day of the 11th month, right? So I want to declare this to you today. Well, in the Jewish calendar, it's called the month Sabbat or Shabbat. You know, or actually could also be Sabbath. It could be rest. It could be a lot of things. But this word, came unto Zacharias on that day. And he said, I saw by night. Remember, he was a prophet. I saw by night. And behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood upon the myrtle, among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom. So there was a red horse. You just picture the vision. There were some myrtle trees, and it looked like the horse was riding, over this. And then, at the bottom, there were these trees. And then behind him, there were some red horses, some of them speckled and white. So all of this was going on in his mind, and said, O Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show you what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, now, this is where we're going. These are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. And the angel of the Lord, that was there and was speaking with these ones, Well, they answered him and said, well, this is their report that they brought. We have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth seated still and is at rest. And I want to key in on the word rest or Shabbat or Shabbat. And remember, it's the month of Shabbat. It's a month of rest. But this is the report they brought, right? They brought this report and said that we've gone to and fro. And it so happened to be that today is the 24th day of the month of November, which is the 11th month in our calendar. And I want to declare unto you today that the report that will be given concerning you as well will be a report of being still and at rest. Be still and know that I am God. So you cannot know until first you are still. You cannot be at rest, you know, until you are still. You know, when we are agitated and so forth, there's a tendency to remain agitated, you know, but when you are at rest, there's also a tendency to remain at rest. You know, even physics, you know, I love all the sciences and various things like that. Occasionally, we'll just look into it. Newton's first law, for those of you who ever did physics, also known as, they call it the law of inertia. You know, what does it state? It says, well, objects that are at rest tend to be at rest, and objects that are in motion, well, they tend to remain in motion. You know, so if you are at rest, there's a tendency to even have rest. If you are agitated, well, that's the way I see that emotion. Agitated, there's a tendency to be even more agitated. And so we need to be at rest. And God wants his people to be at rest. You know, so there are a lot of things that can make us agitated, that we cannot be at rest. Constantly in motion, well, you're going to always like to be like that. It's a tendency to be like that. But if you learn to sit back and be still, if you are be still, then rest can come. And God promises rest. And on such a day as this, the report they brought. Now, I want to tell you that these people or these emissaries, alerters and watchers of God, you know, that were bringing these reports, you know, well, the reports they brought was not for all and everything that was in the earth, but that's what they chose to report about. And that's very important. You know, and they said the earth is at rest and the earth is, you know, still. Well, the earth, I don't think the whole earth was at rest and the whole earth was not as still, you know, still. But that's what they brought. And that's the report that will be brought concerning you. When the Lord asks those angels that he has sent for concerning you, their report today must be, yeah, everything is well for them. Say ye to the righteous, Isaiah 3 and 10, that it is well with him and it is well with you. You know, in the book of Isaiah, I love this Isaiah. In chapter 6 of Isaiah, we saw he also had a vision. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then he saw his train fill the temple, and he heard all the seraphims and so forth going back and forth crying, holy, 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 holy. You know? And part of the stuff that they were crying, and every time I look at it, I say, yeah. And the Lord makes me understand beyond what looks like it's on the surface here. you know, because this is what they cried. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Well, they were in a dimension. I mean, there's a lot of wickedness in the earth. But yet these people, and then these seraphims were, you know, in a dimension where, you know, their world was a world of glory. And that's what they were reporting. And so, you know, I pray that the Lord's messengers of good that have gone forth on your behalf, remember, he says, well, what are these angels? What are they but messengers in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, you know, that are sent forth minister on your behalf. They are ministering spirits. That's what they are. And they go and go back and forth. They must come and report something to the Lord. Well, what are they going to report concerning you? You know, that's the thing. You know, so I'm going to declare to you the word of the Lord today, being that this day matches this thing, yeah, the 11th month, 24th day, some report that's coming up before the Lord concerning you will be the report of rest, being as rest, being still, and being at rest. This is what the Lord wants for his people. So a prophetic word for you today is as follows. My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. That's right. That's Isaiah 32 and verse 18. If I started from verse 17, say the work of righteousness shall be peace for you, and the effect of righteousness, quietness. That's this being still, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell, right? In, where shall they dwell? In a peaceable habitation. Now, so if there is no peaceable habitation where you live, in your neighborhood, in your country, and so forth, well, that's contrary to the will of God. You know, so we got to use the word of God to bring things into alignment, into the will of God for us. The will of God for us is that my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. So the stillness, you know, that God commands for you, and the rest that he commands for you, is exactly the role that these emissaries in the spirit, they will go forth, they look, and they report. And God said, indeed, you know, sometimes God will have these meetings, you know. He will have these meetings, and he will say something like, well, have you seen my daughter, such and such? They say, yeah. Well, I said, well, you know how she's declaring my word? They say, yeah. Well, you go down there and see to it and let it come to pass. Make sure that what she's believing and declaring, you know, you see to it that it comes to pass. So they've got their charge, these angels. God is giving them their charge, you know. And the way it works is you can't make these angels do anything other than what God's already given them charge for. In fact, you try to tell them something, say, no, I've got my orders. One time, you know, there was an angel of the Lord that was called, you know, captain of the Lord's hosts. And he came to a man of war, you know, that saw, well, he said, well, you know, this Joshua man, he's a, you know, Moses was a man of miracles, signs and wonders and all that stuff. Joshua, on the other hand, was a man of war. I mean, you know, he's always ready to fight. So one day, he saw and lifted up his eyes, and behold, there stood over against him by the wall. He saw somebody that had a drawn sword in his hand. Now, if you have a sword in front of Joshua, he's ready to engage. You can read this story in Joshua chapter 5, you know, and you can read it from verse 13. So Joshua comes to the man and challenges him because there's a sword in his hand. He said, let us play. You know, there's a sword in your hand. Joshua is ready to fight. Ask the man, what is your mission? Tell us why you are here. Are you here? See, he asked him, for us or for our adversaries? There are two parts of that question. The answer that this man, who turned out to be the captain of the Lord's hosts, and Joshua didn't know it at the time, his answer was, nay. He asked him two things, but the answer was, no. Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? I mean, you got to take sides. I mean, let me know right now, you know, because Joshua was ready to fight. And the man said, no. He said, nay. Praise the Lord. Nay means no. But I have my orders. I have my own mission. My mission is not for you or for them or for this or for that. I've got my orders, you know. And the orders were for him to bring to pass the will of God concerning you. It turns out in a roundabout way, it will be for your benefit. But he's not just there just for your benefit and for your command. He's there. He's got higher orders from the Lord. And the orders are made clear to us in Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his hosts, and ye angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. Yeah, they already got their orders, hearkening to the voice of his word. And the commandment says, you go to there, you go down there and see to it that the moment they begin to declare my word, you make it happen. You see to it. Yeah. And then when they come back, they say, well, you know, we have done and we have gone to and fro concerning your children and all is at rest. And that's what they report about you, that all is at rest for you. So if you are not at rest, and the Lord said all is at rest, well, that's not the will of God. The will of God for you is to be at rest, to dwell in quiet resting places, to have rest and assurance forever. Praise the Lord. And I declare unto you today on this 24th day of this 11th month that the report that will come to the Lord concerning you, concerning your children, concerning their children after them, is report of being at rest. All is at rest. So everything is still and is at rest. And that's a wonderful place to be, a place of rest. Let's not be agitated about anything. Be in a place of rest. The place of rest is sitting right at his feet, at the presence of the Lord. That's it. Mary chose that wonderful place. Well, Martha chose to be agitated, running all over the place. And but Jesus said, this woman has chosen the one needful thing, and it will not be taken from her. Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. You'll experience the knowledge of God, the attributes of God more in moments of stillness and quietness. And you can't really know until you are still. And I will be exalted, hallelujah, in the earth, he said. And God's plan and directives for the ministering spirits that he has sent to go out and operate on your behalf, their report today for you shall be, it is, she's at rest. All things around them are still. Now, I speak that word of God. You know, God's word carries the power to create change. When there was chaos and the earth was void and without form, you know, and it was out of order, out of kilter, you might say, the word of God came and said, let there be. And there was. Now, I declare the word of God on this 24th day of this 11th month for you, that God's, the report that God will be hearing from his messengers concerning you will be that you are still and you are at rest. And I pray over everybody that's in troublous times. Troublous times may be around you, but God will isolate you, put you in a bubble. Glory to God, that you will be still and you'll be at rest. Even in the midst of everything else. John 14 and 27 says, my peace I leave with you. And not as the world, you know, stuff may be going on around you, but God will isolate you in the name of Jesus. I declare this word for you today, that God's angels and his alerters, his patrollers, his watchers, that they are going forth, back and forth, and they are coming back and reporting to the Lord today concerning you, that there is stillness and rest for you. Praise the Lord. Oh, and you arm yourself with that knowledge. You say, well, God already shown that I'll be at rest and things will be still for me. Then you use that word to command situations around you. Command the tempest. Praise the Lord, you know. When Jesus was in the tempest, people around him were agitated, his disciples. But he was still and at rest. He was sleeping. Tempest was blowing the boat all over the place. Waters were rushing into the boat and everything. Everybody else was agitated, but he was at rest. Sleeping on a pillow as if nothing was happening. Well, yeah. Because he knew how to be in that place. And may the Lord teach us and bring us into that place. Even today. Experience it. Let's be conscious. Let's make a concerted effort today. You know, that I will be at rest. You know, I will not be greatly moved. The psalmist said, I'm not going to be moved. Jesus, there's a song that says, Jesus is my savior. I shall not be moved. You know, I will not be moved. And I will not be greatly moved either. And Jesus said, well, I'm going to tell you how that can be in your life. You know, if you hear these words of mine in Matthew chapter 7 and you do them, well, here's what is going to happen. The storms of life come against you, but they won't rock you or shake you. Maybe rock you a little bit, but, you know, you will still be standing. But he that hears these my words and does not do them, well, he's going to be like a man that built his house on the sand. When the storms came and the tempest rose up against that house and beat against it, well, the house will fall because he didn't have a solid foundation. But on the other hand, the one that's doing these my words will be on solid ground, solid foundation. Same things will happen to him as the other one, but he will stand. Praise the Lord. Now, talking about doing these my words. And you can read all of that. This was at the end of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount for three chapters. Well, recorded. Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7 of Matthew. And in chapter 7, that's how he closes it out. Well, if you hear my words and do them, you know, you can read verses 24 to about 27 of Matthew chapter 7. Now, talking about doing, today's lesson, which I want to talk about God's good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let me bring this perspective. Yesterday, we alluded into it a little bit. You know, everybody has their opinion, and they're entitled to their opinion about what this may mean. But there is nothing about God that is not good. Right? So you can't have, you know, some will of God that may not be good, you know, or something about God that may not be perfect, you know, can't have that. And if you slice this up, as people often do, to say, well, we got God's permissive will. I'm going to be talking about that today. This scripture, that you may be able to prove what is that, you know, it's talking about that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is not God's good will or his acceptable will or his perfect will. No, it is one will of God that has all of these attributes. His will for you is good. It's always good. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. I know the thoughts that I have toward you. Thoughts of good and never of evil. Bring you to an expected end. His thoughts towards us are always good. And, you know, and he will do you good also. He'll follow his will. It's pleasing also to him. It is his good pleasure. Jesus said, he said, call them little flock. He said, you should not be amazed by anything because it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not. Luke 12 and 32. Little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, it is good and it is pleasure. It is both good and pleasing to him. It's wrapped up in that one verse. Now, everything also about God is perfect. But I want to talk about, you know, for us to know the will of God. You know, don't be unwise, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Don't be unwise, but you must understand what the will of the Lord is. If you don't, you may think, you know, that it is, I mean, God's so-called permissive will. Father, I want to completely dismiss that today. And this is my own version. Everybody's entitled to theirs. That the, you know, there is no phrase in the Bible anywhere that talks about God's permissive will. It's no such thing. You know, what he wants is what he wants. Now, we have our own ways of doing things, which may be contrary to what God wants, but, you know, if you will do his will, and Jesus said, if any man will do his will, then he will know what God wants. Now, I'm going to read to you a story of a man, or just paraphrase it, who thought, when God already said what he wanted, but he thought otherwise. But he did not, you know, end up too well for him. He almost had his head taken off by the angel of the Lord. The story of Balaam, who was a seer, right? Balak, who was, one of the enemies of children of Israel, Moab and the rest of them, they were distressed, you know. So they saw what Israel had done to the Amorites. And so Balak, who was, king of Moabites at the time, he sent messengers to Balaam, the seer, and said, all these people and so forth, I pray you come and curse them for me. For they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, if you curse them, I'll prevail. And I will smite them. And I may drive them. Now, this Balaam person, he ought to have known better. But in any case, he said, you stay here tonight. I will bring you word again, whatever the Lord speaks to me and so forth. So Balaam, wanted to ask the Lord, and God asked him first, these men that came to you, what do they want? And he just told them. He said, and the Lord said unto him, listen to this. I'm reading, this story is in Numbers 22, this is where it starts. And God said unto Balaam, this is verse 12, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now, this is God's will. And God told him. So, he knew it. And then he stood up in the morning and said, I can't do it. So, Balak sent him some more people. Promised him all kinds of gifts. I'm going to give you a lot of things. The first set of people that were sent, maybe they were dressed shabby. So he sent some more people who are more honorable and they looked really sharp. Brought gifts with him and so forth. Said, look, I'm going to give you all kinds of things. You come do this for me. I'll give you great honor. And I will do whatever you say. I pray, come and curse these people. And so on and so forth. Balak said, I'm not going to do it even if you give me a house full of silver and gold. At this point in time, he was staying with the will of God. He knew it. So the man continued to press him, and then he continued to offer him more stuff, So this man, then rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. Whereas the Lord already told him not to go. But listen to this. This is where people call about God's permissive will. He may kill you for it if you don't stay with his perfect will. Now, in verse 20 of Numbers 22, the Lord, you see, because he went back to the Lord, Balaam did, and went back to the Lord again and said, Lord, what shall I do? The Lord already told him what to do. So Balaam came to him and then said, if the men come to you, rise up, go with them, but yet the word I should tell you is what you will say. Now, this is what makes people think that there is, God's permissive will. They read this story. I've heard this story told whenever people talk about God's permissive will. Well, God already told this man what not to do. And when he went, listen to this. He said, God told you first not to do it. Then God told me again to do it. So maybe it's God's permissive will. Well, listen to this story though. See what happened. When Balaam rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab, God's anger was kindled against him because he went. Now, be careful now when you think, it's God's permissive will. No. You stay with his word and his will. You say, but God told me that I could go. Well, he already told you first not to go. Now, you press him, you say, okay, fine. But that's dangerous. You stay with God's will. Now, why do I say it's dangerous? Well, because you can't make God change his word. If God changes what, he'll kill you for it. You know, so this man went, and as he was going, you know, the angel of the Lord stood up against him to kill him. Now, this is the so-called permissive will, but God's going to kill you for it. He's about to kill this man, the angel of the Lord. God's anger was kindled against him. I told you not to go. But you told me I could go, you know, so, but I told you not to go. He said, well, but you told me I could go. See, this is the danger of looking, trying to look for a loophole around God's will. God already told you don't do it. And then you are looking for a way to do it anyway. Yeah, well, okay, fine, but he's going to kill you. The angel of the Lord was standing right there, ready to kill this man. And it was a donkey that saved him that day. Well, you guys know the story. And if you don't know, you read all of it. But he was about to kill him. Now, this is a dangerous, people use this as God's permissive will. Well, it would have ended in this man's head being cut off. If the donkey, you know, God opened the eyes of the donkey, he saw the angel. The mad prophet did not even see the angel anymore. He was so blinded by greed, you know. Greed. Even when you are blinded by greed and looking for a loophole, you will find a loophole. You know, this man heard that God told him to go when God already told him not to go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if he truly, you know, had a mind to stay with God, he would not even have gone to God the second time around to be pressing God. They came to me, they offered me so much stuff, you know. I mean, can I go? This man was greedy. You know, we're told later, you know, in the epistles that he was greedy of gain, you know. So, didn't end very well for him. And the Lord wanted to kill him. Now, when the earth saw the angel of the Lord, though, she thrust herself against the wall and crushed balance foot against the wall and smote. And he smote her again. I mean, he didn't see the angel. The earth was seeing the angel and dodging and so forth. And, you know, in the process of dodging, because the angel had a sword, you know, smashed and go open the mouth of the donkey. Can you believe it? It's an amazing story. Open the mouth of the donkey. The donkey spoke to the man. He said, why are you smiting me? Have I not been your faithful donkey all these years? Oh, my goodness. You know, and man said, yeah, I smite you because you're not going where I told you to go. And then finally, you know, the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, you know, wherefore has I smitten thine ass this many times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me give a stern warning here. If you are looking for some so-called permissive will from God, it's perverse. You stay with the will of God when he already told you. Don't try to change it and look for something around it. This man tried, but the angel of the Lord would have killed him for it. Now, you can make anything you want out of that story. You stay with God's word. You know, there was a man in 1 Kings chapter 13. Some of you may know that story. We were not even told his name, but he was a young prophet, you know, and God sent him somewhere on a mission. And there was an evil king and so forth, and people were doing all crazy stuff on the altar. God sent this man, well, go and prophesy to the altar and so forth, and do such and such, and then bring out another prophecy and so on. So anyway, he went and did everything, but God also told him, you know, when you're done with what I told you to do, do not go to any place. Do not eat. Do not drink. Do not do this. Do not do that. And so he went and did as the Lord told him. And he prophesied upon the altar and so on. And, you know, he said, this is the sign that the Lord has spoken. The altar will be rent, ashes and so on. And King Jeroboam was king at that time, you know. So he was one of the wicked kings. And well, he told somebody to grab him. And when they tried to grab him, the man who tried to grab him, his hand was withered. And the altar was also rent, just like the man of God said. So the king was, wow, my goodness, he was afraid. So he asked the man, say, I pray that you pray the Lord for me, you know, that my hand will be restored again. You know, so he prayed, well, and the Lord restored his hand. The hand he stretched out. And so he told the man, well, as a reward, I want you to come home with me, refresh that. So I'll give you a reward. I'll give you bread. I'll give you this. And the man said, no. Even if you give me half of your kingdom or your house, I will not go. Neither will I eat bread or drink water in this place. For it was charged me by the word of the Lord. Now, that's his first mistake. He didn't need to tell this man what God told him. Cast not your pearls before swine. Your jewels, give not your jewels to dogs and so forth. Don't need to tell him. Just stay with the word of God. You know, the moment he told it, somebody heard it. He said, oh, the Lord told me not to eat water and bread and so forth. So somebody heard it, you know. And then it was noise about what he said. The Lord had told him not to do it. He went another way. She was just, you know. But the Lord told him, get out of there, but he didn't. And now there was in that same place an older prophet, you know. Now, remember, he was called a prophet. He was not called a false prophet. Some people thought he was a false. No, he was not a false prophet. He was an old prophet, you know. And then the sons came and told him. And they told him also what the man said, you know. Say, wow. So he said, he's going to go look for him. So he went and looked for him. And when he found him, you know, he said, said to him, hey, you know, come home with me and eat bread. You know, and he knew what the man already said. He's not going anywhere. He said, well, you know, I said, no, I shall not eat bread or drink water in this place, nor turn again. You know, and you should have left that place. What are you lingering around for? You finished the work. That was the second mistake, hanging around. And then this man, the older prophet, said to him, well, but I am a prophet, even as you are. And the angel of the Lord spoke to me tonight, or whatever, to bring you home, and so forth. Bring him back to your house. Let him eat bread and drink. But he lied. He wasn't a false prophet, but he lied. You know, the lying spirit came upon him at that time, and he lied. And the man let his guard down. See, the king could not persuade him because he knew the king was an unbeliever. But an old prophet, a big brother, could persuade him. Because now he left his guard down. Well, this is a man of God. In fact, he's more revered than myself. You know, he let his guard down. But the man lied unto him. Now, he should have stayed with what God told him. When God has already told you, don't try to change it. Don't let anyone try to change it. Don't try to make something permissive out of it. Well, maybe it's okay for you to go and drink water, need bread, like the Lord, you know, God already told you, don't do it. Well, maybe it's okay. No, no, don't do it now. He saw what happened to Balaam. And then this man went with this guy. And while they sat in the house to meet, the same prophet that deceived him brought judgment against him. That's right. You know, that's exactly right. You know, because he said, well, you know, for as much as thou hast disobeyed. See, now, you thought it was God's permissive will. Well, it's okay to go, you know. But in as much as you have disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and has not kept his commandment with the Lord that God commanded thee, and then that he told you not to turn back, not to eat water, not to do these things, but you did. Well, he said, judgment is going to befall you. Your carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of your fathers. Brought the word of the Lord against him. Now, that word of the Lord is a sharp two-edged sword. It can heal you, but it can smite you too. Be careful now. You know, so, you know, and it happened to him just like he said. Now, there's a sad element in this story. The young prophet did not repent. That's the part that's sad. That was his third mistake. He made a lot of mistakes in this story. His third mistake was he did not repent. You know, somehow in the Old Testament, they didn't know about grace. They didn't know about repentance. They just believed, well, David knew it though. They just believed that once God says something, that's it. You know, most of them didn't know it. So this man just went, and a lion met him, killed him. But the lion did not attack the donkey. Just sat there. So you know the lion wasn't hungry. It was judgment that fell on the man. He made three great mistakes here. Now, what? Because he was looking for God's permissive will. Maybe it's okay after all. You know, God said, don't do it, but maybe it's okay. You know, that's the danger of looking or trying to make something permissive out of what God already said. You know, don't do it now. You know, so we need to be careful. And the same prophet, you know, that deceived him, was the same one that brought judgment against him. Now, this is a dangerous thing to be, when you think that, you know, there's something different than what God said that was perfect. Ezekiel 14 and verse 9 says, if a prophet be deceived, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand against him. Now, why would a prophet be deceived? Well, it's the same thing as any of us. When God's word's already there, you don't stay with God's will. You think that God may, you know, it's all right. That's exactly what the devil said to Eve. God already told them one thing, you know, which was straight out of his commandment to them. But the devil come and say, oh, come on now. You know, it's okay. God's permissive way, but it's okay. You know, it's okay for you to eat the thing. You know, God knows that, you know, you'll be wise, you'll do this, and so on and so forth. And he was slick and deceitful. And she didn't stay with the word of God, you know, looking for, well, maybe it's okay. No, it's not okay. If God said it, you stay right with it. You can see all these stories. How people who tried or allowed the word of God to be changed for them, or they themselves tried to make God change it. See, it never ended up well for them. I can go on and on, many stories like that in the Bible. You know, so, and that's what people think is God's permissive way. I tell you, stay away from it. Don't even go there. But let's see what Jesus said. How Jesus, you know, what Jesus said about doing the will of God. What the will of God is. It's not three types of God's will. It's the will of God. The will of God. Not three types of God's will. Now, let's see what Jesus said about it. When he was teaching his disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, he said in verse 10, pray like this. Thy kingdom come, thy will. He didn't say thy perfect will be done. It's just one will. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's what Jesus said. So we must be focused on doing the will and praying that his will be done. Jesus himself in John chapter 6, in verses 39 to 40, among many times when he testified that he came to do his Father's will and that he could do nothing other than what the Father showed him to do. In many places he said that. Here, listen to what he said in John chapter 6 and verse 39. He said, well, let me read it from verse 37, actually. All that the Father has given me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. He didn't say the perfect will of him that sent me. There's only one will. The will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. Not this is the Father's perfect will. No. This is the Father's will, that, you know, of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up at the last day. And this, he said it again so many times in this short verse. And this is the will of him that sent me. Not this is the God's perfect will. No, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now that's God's will, not his perfect will. It is his will, and it is perfect. So don't think of it as some perfect will of God is somewhere, and some not so perfect will of God is somewhere, where God may allow you to do something that he didn't want you to do. I mean, what do we make of God? You know, so God is not a yo-yo God like that. With him, there is no variableness or shadow of turning. And if you never thought about what that means, let me, download it or explain it to us today. Variableness or shadow of turning. Well, in the book of, when we did the book of James, we did this study some months ago. I don't know how long ago, but let me quickly refer to this today. In James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift. Well, here's another use of good and perfect. Does God give something good that is not perfect? Because if we think that the good will of God is different from perfect will of God, well, we would think here also that a good gift of God is different from God's perfect gift. It gives you something good, but sometimes it gives you something perfect. And this is the thinking of anyone that wants to try to slice that up. But here's what it says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, right? Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness. When he says it, that's it. He doesn't, it's not yo-yo. There's no variableness or shadow of turning. And shadow of turning, mood swings. God doesn't have mood swings. Many of us have mood swings. We all do have mood swings. Today you feel like it. Tomorrow you don't feel like it. This day I'm feeling it. The other I'm not feeling it. Well, God doesn't have that. It's not a yo-yo. When he says it, that's it. He says what it means, and it means what he says. He doesn't give you something good that is not perfect. Neither does he give you something perfect that is not good. It is both good and both perfect. And it's not yo-yo like that. Now, people that think that God may be yo-yo like that, he can give you his perfect will, but, sometimes he may allow you to do something else. Well, it is because of a lack of proper teaching on what free will and the power to choose means. Free will and the power to choose is there. However, Jesus said it, and we read it yesterday. If a man will follow me, he must give up that right to his free will. That's right. You got to deny himself. Give up that right. My right. You got to give that up to follow me. You got to deny yourself. Now, if you don't give it up, remember I said you are bought with a price. God owns us lock, stock, and barrel. What he says, you are my friends if you do what I say, not find a loophole around what I've said. So if you do it, you are my friends. And when God has said it, he said, look, you've got to deny yourself of even your own choice. And God gives us choice. God never forced anybody to do anything. But if any man will do his will, then he will know of it. Now, let me read to you some lessons about doing the will of God. Why it is so important. It's so critical that we know. Now, Ephesians 5:17 already told us that we should not be unwise, but we must know the will of God. Know it and don't try to find a way around it. It's the will of God. But let's see why this will of God is so important. There's no such thing as it's permissive. We forget that one. We're just talking of one will of God, the will of God. Why it is so important. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 21 and 22, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. This is how it's so important. I mean, it's like, you know, this is your passport to get in there, doing his will. So it's important for us to know the will. Don't let the devil mess your mind up about the will of God, because this is the only way you are going to get in there, Jesus said. You do it. It's not important. It's not enough to just say, yes, Lord, but actually do it. Matthew 21, he told the parable of those two sons, which we've spoken about severally the last few weeks. One said, I am not going, but he repented and did it. The other one said, yes, Lord, or yes, Father, but he didn't do it. And Jesus said, which of them? You know, and even the people answered correctly. Now, so doing the will of God is so important that Jesus said, anyone that doesn't do it will not enter, no matter what they say with their mouth. They can call me Lord. They can say whatever, but they're not doing the will of God. They will not get in there. So that tells us that it is so important for us to really understand the will of God. Now, let's make no mistake about it. God is not a yo-yo God. There's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning with him. He won't tell you something today and yo-yo about it. No. If he says it, he has said it. And that's what it is. There's a story in Matthew chapter 12. One time, you know, Jesus was in a certain place, busy doing some stuff. So some people came and told him, said, look, your mother and your brethren are outside. And these were the children of Mary, you know, by Joseph. So they were called the brethren of Jesus, right? So your mother and your brethren are outside and they want to talk with you. You know, so you can read that story in Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 to the end. So, and Jesus said unto them, well, so he looked around him, right? Because they are telling him, your mother is outside. Your brothers are outside. They want to talk to you. So Jesus looked around him, you know, and said, well, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? That's a question, you know, that he asked. Who's my mother? And who's my brethren? And Jesus is going to answer it himself. And he stretched forth his hands to his disciples, not to his mother, not to the children of Mary, who are his brethren in the flesh, but he stretched forth his hand to his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever, this is the reason why this will of God is so important. Devil doesn't want us to understand. He's trying to give you loophole around it. It's not loophole. Whosoever will do the will of my Father, not the perfect will of my Father. Jesus never talked about perfect will of God. He never talked about it. He always talked about the will of God. Just one will, which is both good, pleasing, and affect. I'm perfect. Whosoever will do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, well, the same is my brother. The same is my sister and mother. Told them. You know, so this is so important. There are many other scriptures that talk about the will of God for us. You know, this is the will of God for you, even your sanctification. You know, when we started to learn about discipleship, you know, many decades ago, they taught us stages. Well, you give your life to Christ, and then later on you get sanctification, then later on you get this and this and this. You know, as if those things are separate things. Now, it's a, there's a growth process, we understand, but there is no separation of, you know, what God wants you to be. God doesn't want you to be saved without being sanctified. God doesn't want you to be sanctified without being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, and they taught it to us as if these were different things. Well, yeah, it is stages in growth, but that's God wants you to have. You can be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit the same day, even before you are baptized in water. We saw that in the house of Cornelius. You know, so if it was always stages like that, then God wouldn't have shown that. He showed it to us that you can do that and feel the Holy Spirit. Now, this is God's will for you, though, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication and all of these things. And every one of you must know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. This is not God's perfect will. This is God's will. Okay? It's his will. Now, if we choose to do otherwise and think it's permissive, well, you can see those people who thought God's will was permissive. See where it ended us here. The first woman that was upon the face of this earth, she thought God's will was permissive. Adam also thought the same thing. Adam should have come in there and stopped that thing, but he didn't, went along with it. And God put the blame actually on Adam, not exactly on Eve, because God gave a commandment to Adam. And here we are today with all this mess that we have, because somebody thought that God's will could be permissive. That's where we have all this mess that we have today. All the trouble that's in the world today, every problem you have, every situation that's contrary to wholeness and wellness, you know, and everything that's going on wrongly in the world today or wrong in our lives. So because one man thought that he could, you know, change God's will or be permissive about it. So be careful now. This is serious business. Now, there are many other scriptures. Let's see about how, I want to try to wrap this up. Let's see about how the psalmist wrote about, you know, God's will. God's will. And where, by the way, where is God's will? It's revealed in his word. Let's just settle that one. You know, it's not, you know, you don't need to go to the mountain or here and there to look for it. It's in his word. His will is in his word. It's right there. And here is what the psalmist thinks about his word, yeah, or at least thought about his word. Yeah, the book of Psalm 119, the whole chapter, very, very long, 170 something verses or so. And all he was talking about in that book of Psalm 119, 176 verses I see is there, was talking about the word of God and all of it and his reaction, his relationship to the word of God and how it means a lot to him, what the word of God can do for him and so on and so forth. But, and also his own, you know, the way that he reacts to the word of God, the way, what he thinks about the word of God. Let me just read one portion of this 170-something verses. It's a lot of it. But here's one portion in Psalm 119. Let's read verses 111 and 112. You know, it's a, like I said, you know, very, very long, you know, very long psalm. But just a few verses here. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, here we go. Now, in Psalm 119 and verse 111, here's what he said. He said, I've taken thy testimonies. Well, in this chapter, he calls testimonies, precepts, law, word of the Lord, you know, statutes. He uses all those words still for the word of God. He said, I've taken this to be an heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes. You can call it thy will. You know, because statutes is the will. This is what the person wants. You know, even always until the end. This was his own determination. I pray that Lord will help us to make that our determination. Look for God's perfect will in his word. And don't try to look for something else. I call it perfect because it's always perfect. I could just say the same thing as look for God's will in his word. Because his will is perfect. You know, perfect actually means complete and lacking nothing. Even as the psalmist said, you know, he used the same word in Psalm 138. He said, thou will perfect that which concerneth me. You know, so you can read that in Psalm 138 and verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. So, you know, to make it complete, lacking nothing, that's what the will of God is for us. He already knows everything, and if we follow his will, it will render completeness in our lives. We'll be lacking nothing, you know, and it is his good pleasure, it's his good will to give that to us. And it's good in his sight. When God began to create things, he looked at it and said it was good. And when he created myself, it was very good. That was made in his image. And so his good pleasure, that's a good will that is pleasing to him to do it to you. You know, they go together. And all things were created, we are told, for him, by him, and so on and so forth. And for his pleasure. You know, so it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And Revelation 4:11 said, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things and for thy pleasure. You know, so the pleasing or the acceptable word actually means pleasing. It's for his pleasure. The will of God for us and for all men. See, God does not want anyone to perish, but the will of God that men should be saved. That's his will. You know, it's not, it's perfect will for men to be saved and it's permissive for them to go to hell. No, his will is for us to be saved. You know, praise the Lord. And those who will hear his word, they will know his will. If you don't want to hear his word, because the word is where his will is revealed. Praise God. Now, let us read John 7:17. I'm going to wrap this up. If any man will do the will of the Father, he shall know of the doctrine, because he was saying, my doctrine is not my own, and this and this and so on. He was always advocating the will of the Father and diminishing himself and say, look, I'm only here to represent. I can only do what the Father showed me to do. I can't do anything, make anything up of my own. And so here he says, well, my doctrine, let me read it from verse 17. He said, my doctrine is, John 7 verses 16 and 17. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And if any man will do his will, not his perfect will, but if you will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. And there's only one will of God. Jesus, all the time he spoke, he just spoke about his will. And if you will do that will, which is both good, pleasing, and perfect, then you will know of the doctrine. And you will know whether it be of God or whether I speak by myself. Well, let me also say that here today. If any man will do his will, you will know whether what we speak here concerning this subject is the will of God or whether it is God's word or not. But we have a responsibility to check things that we hear out. You know, Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law and to the testimony. That's the final arbiter about everything. It's God's word. Go back there. If anybody does not speak according to that, because there's no light. Now, if you hear anything when I'm on this platform, even if I'm the one that says it, said it, and it does not align with God's word, and better don't mess with it. Get away from it, because it means there's no light in it. God's word and his will are synonymous, and he will not change it. It's not that kind of yo-yo God. You know, his word is yea and amen in Christ. That's it. He said it and he settles it. That's it. That's the way he wants it. Now, if you will do his will though, in other words, if you want to do his will, then you will know that the doctrine of Christ is true. Praise God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. I hope that helps on the subject of God's good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Think of it as various attributes of God's will. It's good. God's will is also pleasing to him. You know, it's called his good pleasure. And it will make your life perfect. There's every aspect in it, it's complete. Because he has foreseen everything. I mean, God is like this master, you know, I mean, this supreme chess player, you know. He looks at the board and he can compute every move all at once that the devil is ever going to move. Even the moves that you will make that will put you in trouble, God already knows it all. And he can make one move. You know, right out of the box, right out of the beginning of the game, and checkmate everything. God taught me many things through the game of chess. I didn't know them at the time that they even have some, you know, significant spiritual teachings. But I used to play chess. And I was a young man, championship chess and stuff like that. And I was trying to be good in it. Yeah, maybe I was a little bit good, but there were some people that were better. And I was training myself. And they're really good ones. They can come in there. They can compute. You know, they look at the board and they can predict, compute, you know, moves ahead. You know, their enemy, opponent is about to make one move and they can compute many moves ahead. If he makes this move and I make this, then they're likely to do this and likely to do that. Their mind's like a computer and they can compute it. Well, for God, he knows it all at once. You know, those of us who were not very good chess players, but we were good and becoming better, we have to wait for our opponent to make a move and then, you know, spend minutes or trying to figure out what's the next move. Well, that's how, you know, those of us who are limited in our knowledge work. And that's how the devil also does. The devil has to wait because he's not omniscient like God. He doesn't know what God is going to do unless somebody says it. You know, now he finds some things in the world. Some things are couched, you know, like God told John, no. Don't write those things in the thunders. The devil will get wind of it and foul it up too soon. You know, close it up. You know, but, you know, devil has to wait for God to make a move and then mess it up or counterfeit it and foul it up and discredit it. But he has to always wait. Now, God, on the other hand, he doesn't have to wait for anything. He already knows every move that the devil is ever going to make. And with one move, can checkmate him right away. That's it. But, you know, he's a pawn in God's hands to fulfill God's will eventually. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, the will of God for you is perfect. He has seen all the pieces wherever they will fall. He knows it, right? And he can, you know, when he gives you that will, if you follow it, it will play out perfectly, as he knows everything. The problem with us is we are not able most times to align with his will. And so we look for loopholes to justify ourselves. Jesus said in John 16, verse 15, ye are those that justify yourself. Anytime we're not being doing the will of God perfectly, we try to justify ourselves. Saul said, well, but I've done the will of God. The Lord told him, smite all the Amalekites, destroy them all, take nothing, you know, take no prisoners. He went there, he smote them, he took prisoners. He took the king, he took cattle, big, these goats, and so on and so forth. And Samuel gets there, and he said, oh, Samuel, hail, you know, peace unto you. I have done the will of God. Samuel said, no, you didn't. He said, but I did. I mean, I vanquished them, and so on. And Samuel said, no. The Lord said to you, do it this way. But you thought, you change it up a little bit. Said, well, you know, the people said to me, no, no, no. Inasmuch as you have not sanctified the word of God to do exactly what he commanded you, he brought you out of nothing to make you this. Now the kingdom will be taken from you. That's another man that did not do God's will 100%. He thought, well, I've done 95% or 99%. Well, so it's good. No. You know, so that's an interesting story. I don't have time to read it for you today. But, you know, Samuel told the man that obedience to the will of God is better than for you to, you know, try to make sacrifice and all of these things and so forth. You can read all that story in 1 Samuel chapter 15, but I don't have time to read it today. So Saul thought he did it, but he didn't do it. And our lesson today, Jesus says, it is not them that say it with the mouth, but actually do his will. There's only one thing, his will. It's always perfect. It's good. It's pleasing to him. And don't try to find loophole around it. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to pray, and that's my own rendition of, and everybody's entitled to their opinion, but I have laid it to you by the word of God. And I'm going to pray over you today, over the room. Also, remember how we started. We started this room today, if you were late, in declaring unto you God's plan, God's will for you, even on this day, this 24th day of the 11th month, because it's a prophetic day in the word of God. Zechariah chapter 1, verses 7 to 11. On the 24th day of the 11th month, the word of the Lord revealed that God will declare concerning you stillness, quietness, and rest. And I declare that over the room at the beginning. And also we went into this lesson about God's will. So God bless everybody. Father, I thank you for your word. The word of God is not bound. The word of God is a hammer. It can break down all these, you know, walls and different things that people put up. The word of God also goes out to your people today that there's peace, quietness, and rest for them today. And Lord, we understand by your word that it is your good pleasure, it's your good will to give us the kingdom. And may the Lord bring us into the place to be in alignment with God's will, always, and never to try to get around it. I thank you, Lord. I give you the praise, and I give you the glory. Help us to understand what it means when you say, you are my friends. If you do, as I say, not find a loophole around it. So Lord, I thank you. All your children that are here, we want to hear from you. We want to learn from you. We want to know your will. And show us, oh Lord, that good, that pleasing, and that affect, you know, a perfect will of God. We'll see it in our lives. When we renew our minds, we'll be able to understand and come into alignment with his will for our lives. We thank you. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. Renew your mind, spirit, daily through the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen and amen.